Hi there, everybody. This is Lon Solomon, and I'm so glad that you're with us today on Live with Lon. Now, we're studying John chapter 14. We left off last week, and we're going to pick up this week. And remember what we study. Come on, say it with me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. And nothing but the Bible. And then we apply to our life. And we use the New King James Version in the New Testament. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for a spirit of understanding in your word today. A spirit of spiritual discernment. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to take the truth of your word today. And that we would be able to assimilate it into our life and appropriate it for our life, and that it would change our life. Father, we pray for the election coming up here in the United States. Father, we know that you are the sovereign God of the universe, and we pray that your sovereign, holy will and desire for America will be worked out in this election. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, remember where we are. John 14, 15, 16, and 17 is a section that is not in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it falls between the Last Supper and between the Garden of Gethsemane betrayal by Judas. And we're studying this, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to combine all four Gospels, and we'll march through the betrayal of Christ, the trial, the crucifixion, the resurrection, etc. Okay, and then hopefully my plan is to press on in the book of Acts at that point. So, praise the Lord, here we go. Here's where we left off in John chapter 14. Philip had said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us." And Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So then how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And we talked about that last week. He who has seen me has seen the Father. And I hope you'll go back and listen to that message if you missed it. Now today, we want to press on, beginning in verse 12. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, the miracles, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Now, what does that mean? Well, the first part we figure out means that the early disciples are being promised here that they're going to do miracles just like the Lord did. And indeed, that's true when we read the book of Acts. But Jesus said, "And indeed greater miracles will you do than I did, because I'm going back to my Father and the Holy Spirit's going to come and take up residence inside of you," he's going to go on to say later. What does that mean? How can we do greater miracles than the Lord Jesus did? Did the disciples in the book of Acts do greater miracles than the Lord Jesus did? Did they do a greater miracle than walking on water? Did they raise the dead? Well, actually, Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. And Paul raised Eutychus in Ephesus from the dead. Okay, did they cast out demons? Yeah, Paul cast out the demon in that young girl, and when she was in Philippi and in Ephesus, they were casting out demons, the disciples of Christ were. Okay, what about healing people with diseases? Yes, they did that too. Handkerchiefs, the Bible tells us, were carried and laid on the sick. And they got better. Okay. What else? Did they walk on water? No, that they did not actually do. Did they... What else did they do that was miraculous, Lon? Well, Paul got bit by a snake, an asp, a poisonous snake, in Acts chapter 27, when he was shipwrecked. And the Bible says the people expected him to swell up and die, and absolutely nothing happened to him. Okay, well, did Jesus ever get bit by a snake and that happened? No. Okay, well, all right, that's something. Look, I don't know exactly what Jesus meant by this, but obviously they did miracles, the disciples, on a par with the miracles that the Lord Jesus did, other than raising themselves from the dead, obviously. Okay, so beyond that, I can't tell you exactly what this means. Now, let's press on. And whatever you ask, verse 13, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We talked several weeks ago about the name of Jesus and how it has power in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. And one of the things we mentioned is on the earth, it has power to bring God's intervention into the events of our life through answered prayer. And I quoted this verse, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we talked about the fact that this does not mean that we can pray for our Maserati or we can pray for our Jimmy Choo shoes now and we can just, whatever we ask for, God's obligated to give it to us. No, no. There is some qualification to this promise. There are some caveats to this promise. There are some boundaries to this promise. Some of our televangelist friends don't seem to read more than this one verse. But there's more than this one verse, like the verse right before it. Look, Jesus says, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Here's one of the caveats. God answers prayer so that he may be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can God be glorified through you getting a brand new Maserati? If he can, then that's a prayer he very well might answer. Can God be glorified? Does God get glorified when you get your Jimmy Choo shoes to wear? I don't know. If he can, if he does, then that may very well be a prayer that gets answered. But God just doesn't answer prayer to meet our narcissistic needs and wants. He answers prayer that his name may be glorified. Okay, and that's what James is talking about. Look what James says, James chapter 4. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Ooh, okay, there you go. Wide open promise. Anything I want? Wait a minute. And you ask, verse 3, and do not receive. Problem. I thought you said you'd do anything I ask in Jesus' name. Well, no, I told you there were a couple of caveats. Here's one of them. You ask, but you don't receive. Why? Because you ask amiss. You ask incorrectly. You ask wrongly, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Don't you know, verse 4, that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants, therefore, to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What's the Bible saying here? The Bible's saying that we can ask all we want, in the name of Jesus even, for things. But if we're asking them with wrong motive, if we're asking these things amiss, if we're asking these things incorrectly, to spend them on our own lusts and pleasures instead of for the glory of God in our life, then God says, those prayers, a lot of those prayers, I just don't answer. So, is God promising to give you and me everything we want? If I want an Hermes bag, H-E-R-M-E-S, I don't know how you pronounce it in French. I say Hermes, but that's totally wrong. An Hermes bag. Some of which go for $30,000. This is a purse. This is like, you know, a couple pieces of leather sewn together, stitched together, for $30,000. If I want one of them, do I get one just because I asked for it in Jesus' name? Not necessarily. Okay, so we understand that the promise of God here is conditioned. It has limitations. It has caveats. It has boundaries as to how it's going to be fulfilled. Let's go back to John 16. Jesus said, verse 22, to the disciples, "And now, therefore, you have sorrow," because he's going to the cross. "But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Now this adds another wrinkle to the promise. Because here Jesus says, "You disciples, you've asked nothing from me." That's true. Maybe they asked one or two things, but I mean, they basically just, they didn't travel with Jesus to get things from him. But he says, "Now after my resurrection, you ask, and God will give it to you, watch, that your joy may be full. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Okay, remember there's a couple caveats that we've seen. But here, Jesus says, God is interested in our joy being full. So, the idea that God only gives us things to glorify himself, and if he can't get direct glory from answering our prayer, he won't do it. No, that's not right either. No, here in John 16, Jesus says God answers prayer prayed in his name in order to bring joy into our life. So, if there's something that you want that's going to bring joy into your life, but is not just to waste it on your own sinful lusts, will God answer that? But Jesus says yes. So is it okay to pray a personal prayer and ask for something personal? You're making me think, Lon, that I feel guilty that God won't answer those prayers. No, I didn't say that. I said he doesn't answer prayers based on James chapter 4, that we may consume it on our earthly sinful lusts. But to bring joy into our life, John 16 says, yes, God's interested in doing that. He said, well, what's the difference between wasting it on my sinful passions and bringing joy in my life because it makes me happy? Where's the line? I don't know. I think it's probably different for every person, and it's probably different for every prayer request. I don't know. That's something we all have to struggle with in our own motives as to where that line is. But it is not wrong to pray and ask for things that will bring joy into your life. And if it's something that you're going to waste on your sinful passions and your motivation is not correct, don't worry. God's not going to give it to you. So you don't have anything to worry about. So ask away. But try to examine your prayers before you ask. And if it's clear you're just asking it for narcissistic purposes, you know, there's no guarantee God will give it to you. Although sometimes, you know, here's another caveat. God in his mercy gives us stuff that we don't deserve. And sometimes we don't even ask for, just out of his kindness. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in the passage, because we want to conclude by asking our question, our most important question. Are you ready? Here we go. Come on now. 1, 2, 3. So what? Right. How great is it God answers prayer? That's what Jackie Gleason says. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. She said, Lon, what am I supposed to take home today? I'm a little confused. You kind of got me twisted around the axle here. Okay, here's what I want you to take home today. God answers prayer. You say that's what you want me to take home? Yeah. God answers prayer that's prayed in the name of Jesus. God intervenes in the world and in the events of the world on your behalf as a follower of Christ, as a child of God, when you pray and ask things in the name of Jesus. In fact, God intervenes often in the world, even when we don't pray. But when we pray, he certainly does. We have not because we ask not, meaning we should therefore pray about everything. When we pray, here's what I want you to take home. God will or will not answer based on several factors. Is this going to bring me joy, or am I just going to waste it on my love of earthly pleasure and lust? God will or will not answer based upon, does this bring glory to him or glory to me personally? And God may or may not answer based on simply his mercy, simply his pleasure. He might answer sometimes and not answer other times, just simply it's not a whim on his part, but it's just his call. It's his pleasure whether he answers or not. And it's his wisdom whether he answers or not, whether it's really good for you and me or not. So, the bottom line is pray. The bottom line is you have not because you ask not. The bottom line is don't be afraid to pray for anything and everything. Now, if we can sift through it and say, this is just a selfish request. My advice is you go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is just a selfish request. I would really like a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes, but it's just a selfish request, Lord. Don't worry about it. Don't pay any attention. He might actually give you a pair. Who knows? But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is ask God. And then let God decide what's best for you, what your motive really is, and what he deigns to do for you. I'll close with two verses. Number one, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, saith the Lord. Call unto me, and I will answer you. Gosh, I love that. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. So, friends, pray about everything. And let God, if necessary, sift through it and figure out what's good for you and what isn't, what's appropriate and what isn't. And don't be afraid to pray about little things like parking spots, lost keys, lost shoes, whatever. Don't be afraid to pray about anything and give God a chance to show you great and mighty things that you know not. And this is why Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? I've seen so many people who say, you know, I don't want to bother God about the little things. He's got too much to do. Friends, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that as God's child, God wants to hear about everything that's important to you. If it's important to you, it's important to him. That's the first thing. And the second thing grows right out of this. God gives good gifts to his children. So the second principle is, however God chooses to answer, yes, no, or wait. Those are always his answers. Yes, no, or wait. Assume that that answer is the best possible thing for you right at this moment in time. If God always gives good gifts to his children, then even if he tells you no, it's a good gift. If he tells you wait, it's a good gift. Just like if he tells you yes, it's a good gift. Always assume that whatever answer God gives you to your prayers, it is a good gift. It is the best possible gift for you at this moment in time. You understand? Have a positive expectation instead of a complaining expectation or complaining response. I remember when we were looking for a new property at McLean Bible Church, and we ended up with 52 acres at Tyson's Corner. Wow, unbelievable story. But I won't tell you the whole story. I'll just tell you, we had a couple of false starts where we thought we had the right building or property identified, and we didn't. And I would get excited. And I would think, Lord, this is going to work. And I would start in my mind planning out ingress and egress and buildings and parking lots and how we're going to do. And then the thing would fall through. The temptation was there to go, Lord, why did you let that fall through? But I tried to keep the attitude of, you know what? If that had been the right property, God would have given it to us. Because he didn't give it to us, was not the right property. And even though, to be honest with you, people were telling me the properties that were falling through were the best properties there possibly were in the McLean, Virginia area. There just were no big properties. I just kept saying, well, you know what? The Lord knows that was not our property. I'm going to assume he knows that his answer, which was no, was the absolute best for us. You know, friends, when he finally opened up what was then the National Wildlife Federation property, right at Tyson's Corner, like I said, 52 acres, by the time we bought a little bit of land on each side, I looked back and I said, oh my gosh. If we'd have settled for 25 acres over here, look what we would have lost. Always assume that whatever God's answer is, it's the best answer for you. And instead of complaining, thank Him for it.